September? How the heck did that happen? Hey, everybody. Welcome to this here long-standing electronic engineering podcast brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by me, Amelia Dalton. We are diving in headfirst into the world of machine learning this week, but no ordinary machine learning. Oh no, that's not how we roll here on Fish Fry. This week we're talking about two entirely different but entirely cool uses for machine learning. From the newest in machine learning-assisted logic simulation to the search for exoplanets using a brand new machine learning algorithm. All right, let's start things off with a little news you may have missed. But before we go any further, let's step back a second. Back to when I was still in high school, grunge was in full swing, and DVDs found their way to market for the first time. All the way back to 1995. That was the year that we first discovered the first world confirmed to orbit an alien star, which astronomers then named Pegasi B. Over the next couple decades, with the assistance of Kepler telescopes and TESS, the Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite, astronomers discovered 4,200 worlds orbiting beyond our solar system, and over 5,000 potential exoplanets. Sure, Kepler and TESS helped astronomers find these worlds and exoplanets, but each of these discoveries then required a whole lot more observation to make sure that they were indeed what the astronomers thought they were, not just interference from background objects or errors in the data collected by the observatory. As you can imagine, that pile of data that was collected by Kepler and TESS, we're talking about decades of dedicated man-hours to try to sift through the information collected by these two telescopes. But how could we ever sift through that giant pile of astronomical data? Machine learning. That's how. And recently, my friends, for the very first time, a machine learning algorithm has been able to confirm the existence of exoplanets. So how exactly? Well, a team of scientists at the University of Warwick Department of Physics and the Alan Turing Institute built an exoplanet finding algorithm. They trained this algorithm by feeding it two specific sets of data from the now retired Kepler telescope. One data set included confirmed planets, while the other only contained false positives. This team also trained this new algorithm using a set of data from unconfirmed exoplanet candidates as well. Any exoplanet that had less than 1% probability of being a false positive was classified as confirmed. And guess what they found? The darn thing actually works. Their algorithm was able to statistically confirm 50 different exoplanets that range in size from huge gas giants the size of Neptune to tiny worlds even smaller than Earth. So we're done, right? Exoplanet existence, check. Well, not so fast. The next step is to observe these worlds and exoplanets with even more powerful telescopes to find out more information about what these celestial bodies are all about. So for now, this team from the University of Warwick Department of Physics and the Alan Turing Institute have just used the information from the Kepler Space Telescope. In the future, they intend to keep training this algorithm and use it to validate even larger exoplanet samples collected by TESS. And hopefully even future missions such as ESA's planned PLATO, or Planetary Transits and Oscillations of Stars, mission. Dr. David Armstrong of the University of Warwick, one of the authors of this study, puts it in perspective like this. He says, in terms of planet validation, no one has used a machine learning technique before. Machine learning has been used for ranking planetary candidates, but never in a probabilistic framework, which is what you truly need to validate a planet. rather than saying which candidates are more likely to be planets, we can now say what the precise statistical likelihood is. Wow. So if you want even more information about this super cool space study, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Next up in our machine learning journey, logic simulation. Please welcome Paul Cunningham from Cadence Design Systems. Paul and I are talking about the role of AI and machine learning in system design and EDA in general, and the details of Cadence's new machine learning optimized Xcelium logic simulation. All right, let's go. Hi, Paul. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi. Thanks for taking the time to talk.
Absolutely. So we're talking about machine learning optimized Xcelium logic simulation today. But Paul, before we get into the finer details, how do you see machine learning and AI play into the overall verification arena? And this is part of an overall intelligent system design strategy at Cadence, right?
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Machine learning, AI, has a huge role to play. I mean, not just in verification, but for, you know, chip design and EDA as an industry as a whole. I mean, if you think about it, you know, what we're doing here is creating the algorithmic or computation equivalent of intuition. You know, there are so many problems, so much of chip design that is, you know, empowered and guided by great intuition and great experience. You know, and I think that's because, especially in the case of verification, it's a truly intractable problem. I mean, you can never cover every possible way you're going to use a chip. The pure mathematics on it, you know, if you have a chip with n gates, it has 2 to the n possible states and 2 to the n squared possible behaviors. So, you know, for a billion gate chip, you know, 2 to the power 1 billion squared is just a stupid number. So the only way in which you can be smart about, okay, so where do I invest my time? How do I drive my campaign? You know, how do I use the tools? How do I invest my engineering time? It's usually empowered through experience and intuition. So, you know, we have a chance with AI and ML to productize that intuition, to actually develop computer algorithms and products that can dramatically then improve productivity.
Now, machine learning optimization is just one part of Xcelium, right? What else is included in this simulator?
Gotcha. So, I mean, Xcelium is a mainstream industry digital and mixed signal logic simulator. So this is a huge category. I think the market statistics have the overall market at over $500 million, something like that, per year. You know, there are three leading mainstream simulators in the market. Synopsys also have a simulator. Mentor have one too. And I mean, we're all very, very good products. And there's huge usage. You know, I hear a statistic quite often that more than 50% of chip design teams compute is running logic simulation. So it can be very, very, very significant. So, I mean, there are a number of features that you have to have in a simulator. There's all the language support. So system Verilog, VHDL, system C. You need to support low power methodology. So this is with like the IEEE 1801 format UPF for insertion of level shifting isolation and so on. Then you've got, you know, mixed signal applications where you're co-simulating with a SPICE logic simulator, got real number models as another more advanced use of mixed signal design. Then you have a number of different technologies that allow you to, for example, pause and restart a simulation or to dump waveform from a simulation so you can debug when the simulation fails. You've got technologies to parallelize the compile of the design to simulate, technologies to do only incremental compile. You know, if you change just a bit of the design, you shouldn't have to rebuild the entire simulation to run again. You've got technologies to parallelize, to do multi-threaded simulation, technologies to simulate at the gate level, to simulate at the transistor level. So, you know, there's a massive portfolio of features that are really required to deliver mass deployment industry grade logic simulator today. And so Cadence is one of the leading players here. By our analysis, we think probably 18 of the top 20 semiconductor companies are using our logic simulator in some form or another. So, you know, it's very, very widely deployed.
So, Paul, let's get into some of the machine learning details here. Now, when I read about this announcement, it said 5 times faster regressions and that machine learning accelerates regression throughput. Can you explain that a bit and how it works exactly?
Sure. Yeah, great question. So out of that enormous portfolio of techniques that are used to verify, you know, a digital SoC, a modern digital SoC, a very large percentage of those cases involve some form of what we call randomization. So this is where the test program that is written to exercise the chip is parameterized to generate different kinds of random values. So for example, you know, if you're putting data on a bus, you develop the test bench, but you know, you're going to put lots and lots of different data values on that bus. So they call it pseudo-random. So you know, you can't just throw random inputs onto the circuit because you know, you won't adhere to protocols or other techniques. So a good analogy I would use is, if I just spit out random characters, then it's not a meaningful piece of English text, right? It's not grammatically correct. But on the other hand, you know, the universe of possible real grammatically correct English sentences that you can write is vast. Imagine writing a program that will generate random sentences that are still grammatically correct. Sort of, it's not fully random, it's not random characters, but it's also not just a single individual sentence. It's a kind of random sentence generator, so it's partially random. So you've got the similar kind of thing going on for a lot of digital verification where they generate an enormous amount of pseudo-randomized stimulus for chips. So these kind of environments are very well suited, we think, to using machine learning. So train an AI machine to understand what kinds of randomized stimulus is actually catching the bugs and what we call covering your design, so actually covering the different aspects of the circuit, the different aspects of the functional specification. So we're using AI to learn the relationship between input stimulus and coverage. That's the kind of technical terms. And then you can use that AI machine to guide the simulator to then cover, to, if you like, hit these points much, much more efficiently. So the idea of XLMML is you might run what we call a regression or a test suite. Let's say it has 10,000 tests, it runs overnight, and it consumes 10,000 CPU cores. We can train this AI system with XLMML, and the next day, when you run that test suite, you can actually run it overnight, but instead of using 10,000 CPUs, you only need to use 2,000. So we can dramatically reduce the amount of compute you need to achieve the same verification quality or the same verification coverage. We're loading the dice, as it were. You know, we want you to just roll and hit a six every time rather than just have to wait one in six times to hit a six.
Yes, I agree. I love that analogy. So, Paul, do you guys have any examples that you can share of Xcelium logic simulation used in real life?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the launch for Xcelium ML, we know we're very privileged and humbled that Kioxia, so that's the Toshiba memory division, it's now spun out as an individually branded company. So the former Toshiba Memory Group, they are actually deploying Xcelium ML for this exact purpose, to improve the throughput of the verification of their SoCs, for example, their memory controllers. They're achieving actually a 4x improvement in compute. So they can get the same verification quality with a 4x reduction in simulation cycle. So it's very, very significant. We're in a late beta in a number of other places. I can't share the specifics with you publicly, but we really are seeing, of the order of 5x throughput improvement with this technology, you know, across a wide range of different designs. So we're excited, and you know, our goal is to have it in general availability for all of our customers from Q4 onwards. Yeah, we think it's something that, you know, really everybody that adopts Xcelium can benefit from this technology, as long as they're doing randomized testing.
Excellent. Okay, Paul, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, it's my favorite off-the-cuff lately. So a lot of places have closed. A lot of times we can't have our favorite food right now. So, Paul, if you could have one thing to eat right now, doesn't matter where it's from, if the restaurant's closed, it's in another country, what would it be?
Oh, that is a great question. So, been out here for 15 years or so now. I mean, I'm from the United Kingdom, I'm from Great Britain originally, and you know, there is a full English breakfast. Essentially, it's sausages, it's eggs, it's bacon. It's a British style bacon, so it's a little different than a bacon here in the US. It's a grilled tomato, eggs. So there is a classic, traditional, full English breakfast, and I would love to go to a place in the UK, one of my favorite little kind of diner type places in the town of Cambridge, and have a full English breakfast.
That sounds wonderful, Paul. I am a big fan of full English breakfast myself, so I'm on board.
They are not very healthy. They're definitely not low calorie, but for a treat once in a while, they're just what we call the bee's knees.
Yes. I had a fair amount in college. That'll tell you something. Excellent, Paul. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for your time, Amelia. Take care.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EE Journal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EE Journal TFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out Amelia D. 1978. And if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or heck, you just want to chat, I promise I will respond. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of September 4th, 2020, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.